everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We don't keep him there because it's a quarantine matter on the other side of the glass. That's just where the control room happens to be. But anyway, Ray always does such a great job for you. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is the midweek edition, September the 6th, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our live streaming, buckmastershow.com. That kicks you over to kvoi.com. We've got all of our podcasts. Pretty much every show we have done is archived at buckmastershow.com since we began this radio project back in January of 2011. Showdown Day, the first Wednesday of the month. That means we would love to have you join in the conversation. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, and we would welcome your comments. And if you would like to say something about what we're talking about, come on in. The monthly showdown is the place here in Tucson on the radio where left meets right, and seated to my left, appropriately enough, David Morales. David is creator of the popular blog site, The Three Sonorans, which he started, let me guess, 2010?
2010, yep.
And you have had how many people, how many million have come to the site?
I just broke the 3.4 million mark.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. David has a master's degree from the University of California at Berkeley. He teaches, appropriately enough again, mathematics at the college level at Pima Community College. And this month on the show, we welcome a new sparring mate for David, conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and the WesternFreePress.com contributor Joseph Morgan. Joe also hosts a weekly talk show that is about 5 weeks old, Joe?
It's a little older than that now, seven weeks, actually.
There you go. Name of the show is Common Sense here on KVOI, Saturday afternoons at 1. Joe has also a master's degree in U.S. history. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And David, it's always good to see you.
Likewise.
Both the major papers, the two largest papers in the state of Arizona, the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic, editorializing today, condemning the DACA decision, the Dreamer decision. Begin with the Arizona Daily Star, 800,000 betrayed by DACA decision that defies logic. Just a quick quote from that editorial. The Trump administration is breaking America's promise to 800,000 young immigrants who are living in the United States illegally because of their parents' actions. And then the Arizona Republic, Trump fails Dreamers. And that decision, according to the Republic, the president's decision has thrown into upheaval the lives of nearly 800,000 young people who, while not formally Americans, are Americans in virtually every sense. Joe, let's begin with you. Your reaction to this decision?
I'm actually very supportive of what President Trump did for numerous reasons, but the two major ones are, first and foremost, I think that we absolutely are a democratic society, and we should follow the legislative process, the democratic process, which Barack Obama himself said in the years of his presidency when they were trying to get something done, comprehensive, not comprehensive, just some kind of legislation that was related to the DACA people affected by this situation, these young people, that, hey, there's not, my hands are kind of tied. There's nothing I can do about this. But then he decided to do something after the multiple failed options. And basically his solution is this deferred action program, which is essentially, we call it a program, but it's essentially a decision by the executive office not to enforce immigration law. And that's a problem because we do need to deal with the immigration issues. And there's multiple complexities. I am irritated to no end that both of these parties use these people as a political football, essentially, as opposed to actually coming together and trying to find some comprehensive decision that includes the DACA people affected by this. But an analogy that I like to think of this is what if Republicans who are against capital gains tax, what if, since we can't, you know, get tax reform through, what if President Trump were to issue a program, essentially, and telling the IRS agents, you're no longer going to collect capital gains tax, and that's what I'm going to do to get that money to stay in the economy? There'd be outrage, and rightly so, because we should have legislative laws that are then executed by the chief executives. And that's what did not happen here. He decided, I'm going to go ahead and do this, so I'm talking about Obama now. And so everybody's like, well, great. Well, my other problem with that is now you have this group of people who are essentially in limbo. There's no pathway to citizenship for them. And Congress gets to sit on their hands again because, hey, the DACA problem is taken care of, even though the Republicans can use it as a thing saying, hey, it's Obama's fault.
So now Congress has an 6-month deadline.
So now Congress, point. Yeah, I kind of actually think it's great to put Congress under the gun and force them to do something because they should.
All right. David Morales, you think obviously completely different from what Joe has been saying.
I think, given this last month of things that have been going on from Charlottesville to the pardon of Arpaio to the DACA, is part of this trend that is very disturbing to me. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago the big focus should have been on Hurricane Harvey. You know, the focus this week should be on Hurricane Irma, and I mean, it's going to cause billions and billions of dollars in disaster and lives lost. But instead, you know, it's really, really important for him to you know, decriminalize someone that's been found guilty in a court of law, Sheriff Arpaio.
On the Friday night of the eve of the Harvey hitting.
Exactly.
And now you're saying this on
the eve, if you
of
will.
Irma.
Yeah. I mean, so why send out these signals? I mean, so the immigration thing has always been an interesting thing because, I mean, is it really a problem? Like, how many, you know, do you, you know, wake up every day and it's just you're tripping over immigrants and immigrants are just causing all this trouble and stuff? It's not a big problem. In fact, it's a benefit to our society. You know, immigrants pay taxes. They are entrepreneurs. They own houses and all this stuff. And, you know, if you got rid of all of them, you know, you'd have a bunch of stores with no customers. You'd have, you know, less money in town. And that's actually, Tucson got a little bump in downwards after 2010 when SB 1070 passed. So I think it's, I'll use the word evil. I think there's evil intentions behind this because these are young people who, you know, they are in limbo. And why are you going to attack them? Why? So why did Obama act? Because Congress, you know, they had a chance to pass a DREAM Act back in 2001. The last time was in 2010. They're not going to pass anything. And he acted because what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to deport? I mean, that's the other thing, the logistics behind this. Are you really going to start deporting 800,000 people? I mean, is that the next step? If you want them to enforce the law.
I think President Trump, Joe, was saying today, these people should be preparing to self-deport. I think those were the words they were using.
He may have. I didn't actually catch that. If that did happen today, I'm not sure about that. But
again, to what David just said about the evil intent, Joe Morgan, do you see any kind of conspiracy here or anything?
No, I read the official statement on WhiteHouse.gov that the president put out. I thought it was fantastic. And again, what he's pushing for, he sees this as an opportunity. And the reason for the timing was because of the state's attorney general that are bringing those suits that were supposed to happen, be filed today. And he had to act. Otherwise, he'd be forced to defend this in court. And he didn't want to defend this in court. His DOJ was not going to defend this in court, which is why he had to do it.
But why wouldn't they defend it?
Because it's indefensible from a constitutional perspective. It's indefensible from a legal perspective. And we can get into some other things about that. But with regards to what you were asking me WhiteHouse.gov, what the president said. His focus was on Americans. We need to get, and I think his intent is to try to force them to a comprehensive immigration reform that has compassion for people like those that fall in the DACA thing, because, yes, they didn't choose to come to this country. But that makes it so that we have a legal framework that is created so that we don't have a continued influx of that kind of situation where 20 years down the road we have a whole other group of these kind of people. What are we supposed to do at that point? And it's focusing on the fact that immigration and this in particular illegal immigration affects disproportionately unfairly both Hispanics and Latinos and blacks in this country who are low wage income workers, and those are the kind of people whose jobs are being affected the most by illegal immigrants into this country.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the facts don't show that out. People always try to make that argument that, like, you know, they're taking all our jobs, which is not the case. But this is what we've done. First of all, these were kids when they came, you know, and to say you are not welcome here because of what you did, which you didn't even do, it happened to you when you were 2 years old. You were brought up in this country, probably never even visited Mexico. You know, we spent all these resources educating, you know, these students in our schools, and some of them graduate, you know, valedictorian. There's a documentary on Carl Hayden High School in Phoenix where, you know, they do all this robotics and all this stuff. And, you know, you have an educated group of immigrants, and, you know, why are you going to deport them? You know, they always say we should focus on the criminals. Well, these aren't the criminals. You know, why are you focusing on, why are you making their lives miserable? Why are you spreading fear? You're making them live like Anne Frank, you know, afraid that the police state's going to come down and raid your house and, you know, take your kid, your parents away, break up your family. I mean, the Constitution is meant to be changed. And, you know, I know you focus on the Constitution, but I mean, think about the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, that wasn't a legislative action that freed the slaves. It was an executive action that needed to be done because the moral, you know, the imperative was there. I mean, you do what's right.
Declared during a time of war. That's an important context.
Aren't we in war right now?
No.
We're in two wars. That's the thing. And then we don't even have wars anymore because the Congress doesn't declare wars, but the president can just do what he wants. So,
all right. We'll pick this up with Joe Morgan and David Morales after the break. And we'll get back to something, Joe, about from a constitutional point of view, you're saying President Trump really had no other choice. Isn't that kind of what I heard you say?
Yeah.
All right. We'll pick up on that when we come back. 790-2040, if you'd like to join. It is the Monthly Showdown. Joe Morgan and David Morales with us. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, TUSD's new superintendent, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Plus, where did you go on summer vacation? Our monthly travel segment features Ryan Hansen, head of the Tucson-based Bon Voyage Travel. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast and archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monthly Showdown. Joe Morgan is here. Joe is Arizona Daily Star columnist, also writes for the westernfreepress.com. He is, of course, seated to my right, and David Morales seated to my left. And Joe, you were saying that President Trump really had no choice from a constitutional point of view concerning the Dreamers. However, you heard David's very passionate plea that these are, you know, young people who through no fault of their own wound up in this country. Yeah. And it is a very emotional time for these people and their uncertainty. Can you understand where David's coming from?
Oh, absolutely. And I actually think that the vast majority of Americans agree with that position. Mm-hmm. We need to find a way to help these kind of people and protect their status. And more importantly, like I said earlier, create a pathway to citizenship for them so that they're not forever in but not of the United States. Mm-hmm. Because I think that that's unfair to them as well. And that's something that needs to be done, again, through Congress, because DACA doesn't create that kind of a pathway. And it keeps them forever in that limbo status.
So you're happy to see Congress have the, you know, kick the ball over to Congress to deal with this?
I think, yeah. And again, from a constitutional perspective, it is Congress's to do. That's where our laws come from. Congress comes together. And what I would like to see with this particular issue, as I'd like to see with almost any issues, is there's so much partisanship that it's almost like pulling teeth to get anybody from the other party to do anything with any of the other guys. It's fine to have a perspective that's way over here on the right and one that's way over here on the left as a starting point. It, like in business negotiations, you sit down, you have this, you have that, and then we negotiate and we come to a policy agreement that has enough compromise with it that people can say, hey, that's the best we could do with where we're at in this representative democracy that we find ourselves, and I should say republic, because that's technically what we are, but that's what they're supposed to be doing up there. And so, yes, it's their job, and they are the ones who have held these kind of people hostage. If you want to be mad at the elected officials.
What do you say to that, David?
Well, I think DACA is very constitutional, and I think what you know, since you're an expert in the Constitution, you should know that, you know, DACA is all about deferred action, right? It's about an enforcement of the law. So, you know, Obama didn't pass a law saying I'm going to grant citizenship to all these people. What he says is I'm just not going to enforce, you know, the deportation of them. And he has every right to, because who's the enforcer of the law? It's the executive branch, right? Mm-hmm. So he's completely within his constitutional right. In fact, there's 40 years of constitutional case law where deferred action has always been upheld in a court of law. And, you know, sometimes it could be for for, you know, disasters, for you know, people like refugees and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, there the president has every right to defer, you know, as I say, deferred action, to not uh-huh. deport all these kids. You know, first of all, it's unfeasible. It's just, you know, just the logistics behind it. But I don't understand what you think is unconstitutional about keeping, you know, people here. I mean, what's wrong with
that? The case laws that you're all referring to are all extenuating circumstances, which this is not. This is not an extenuating.
Send them to a place they've never been to?
Because here's the ultimate.
Imagine if someone picked you up right now and put you in the middle of Tanzania.
Where does it stop? Because I'm going to give you some more recent case law that directly relates to DACA. DAPA. He tried to extend in 2014. First of all, he tried to extend DACA. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to extend and create a new program for parents, for adults that would have expanded the base of people affected under this deferred action mm-hmm. program to almost about estimates say, because again, nobody really knows how many people are even in here in this country illegally, but around half of the illegal those who are here illegally would have been affected and covered by this. And that's when they rose up in arms and
You said here illegally, that doesn't mean anything in a court of law.
And they took it to court.
Presence is not illegal.
And they won. Mm-hmm. Then it made it all the way to the Supreme Court where they couldn't make a decision because it was a 4-4 split with the death of Antonin Scalia. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, the lower court injunctions on those programs were upheld as being unlawful because he didn't have the authority not to enforce the laws in those kind of situations because it's not truly considered extenuating circumstances of a refugee plight or of any of this other kind of stuff. It's a problem that we have, and I'm with you. We need to find a way, as Trump says, a way with heart to help these particular kids. But we need to get it in a comprehensive manner so that we can forego this same problem from continuing to grow and then others being able to hurry up. Hey, look what America's doing. If we can just get our kids in there, then 20 years from now, they'll all be touched by heart again and create another program where you're hop-skipping over those who are doing it legally, and it's wrong. And it is a form of amnesty that, again, I think there's enough people in this country who understand the plight of these young people who were brought in here, but it needs to be done in a comprehensive manner so that we can address it once and for all.
Jim Kelly has called us. Jim is on the live line. Jim, how are you?
I am well, sir.
Good.
David, one of the things that I want to get across to you and hope you understand is that in order to bring people into the light, out from the underground, out from underground economies, out from being exploited by, you know, companies that abuse and use mm-hmm. people that are in limbo in regards to their immigration.
Well, first of all, we're talking about
passing a law is a far, far better way of dealing with that.
That's fine, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Than extending the shadow of DACA, because that's what DACA does. It puts them all in a shadow, and it doesn't keep them, it doesn't bring them
But what you guys are saying is let's deport them until the laws, until Congress gets its act together, let's deport them, because that's the right thing to do, to a place many of them have never been to. That makes no sense. That's dumb. I'd rather them be in limbo, learning and working in the United States until Congress gets its act together, than a mass deportation.
Well, nobody's going to be deported, are they, until the six-month period?
Yeah. Well, it's not immediately. In 6 months.
Not immediately, no,
they get a six-month.
There's a six-month where no
and
action
so
will be
the
taken
clock's
at all.
Going to be running, right?
And yeah. And Trump, is under his administration, they've already have deported some dreamers already, despite the DACA protections. But that's what I'm saying is, you know,
those
it's just
contentious.
It's this pure
the
thing.
Two cases that I know about.
So, I mean, is that your recommendation? Deport them until Congress gets its act together, and then we can worry about it?
Well, again, Congress has 6 months, so I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
In 6 months, should they be deported until Congress
again,
gets its act together?
Because you're such an advocate, you're an advocate.
No, but you haven't answered that question.
But you're an advocate for Hispanics, right, in particular.
I'm Hispanic for all humanity.
On Facebook and everything else, you really advocate, and I think it's great. And we
advocate
need,
for all people.
We need no.
Yes.
And especially in a Republican form of government, everybody's advocating for one group over another, and I have no problem.
I advocate for those that are under attack from our government, such as, you know, sending ICE raids and to people, you know, to kids, to scaring them. Do you think they should be deported?
So what,
next year?
Your point.
So what to pick up on what James was saying, Jim Kelly was saying as he called in. The number one group of people that is affected by illegal immigration into this country, okay, and the DACA people, the DACA individuals would fall into that category as well, even though they didn't choose to be here, is that one of the things that they are hurting is they depress wages, and this is a fact, it's an absolute fact, amongst low-income people in this country. And in particular, a lot of people in the low-income variety are Hispanics and blacks, which is the point I was making earlier. And there is a huge transfer of wealth that happens in this country when those kind of people lose jobs to people who are in this country illegally, or like I said, now we have DACA who are challenging.
There's no such thing as being here illegally. That's not a fact.
Please stop.
Presence.
Lawfully. They are breaking immigration law. Said, it's the same thing as. Don't play semantics.
Okay. Existence. Existence is not illegal.
I didn't say existence. I mentioned.
Then you cannot be here illegally. That doesn't make.
They're
no sense.
Breaking the law. It's illegal.
No, they're breaking the law right now.
So if you go and break a law, are you in an illegal action?
What
or
is
not?
The law they're breaking?
Wait a second. If you go out and break a law, is that an illegal action or not? Or am I not allowed to use that word?
What is the law they're breaking by being here?
Okay.
Immigration
law.
What law? Tell me what law.
There's immigration law that says you have to apply for visas. You have to do a
being
lot of different
here
things. You cannot enter the country
David.
Illegally.
That's different. That happened decades ago. But being here, existing in the state of Arizona is not illegal.
Who said? But
that's
now,
the
you're,
law.
You're playing semantics.
No, that's the law.
No, you're playing semantics. The law that with the word illegal.
The law that was broken was crossing illegally.
Okay.
Right?
So, anyways,
right. I've got about.
To the tune of $500 million, there's a wealth transfer that happens because of these low-income wages that goes into the pockets of the employers.
Them.
No, the employers
I know, but,
that play one end of off
know,
the other.
Right
so why
now,
not why not fight for the Hispanics of Native American? Why not?
Them.
No, of Native immigrant families that are here. Okay, whose jobs are most affected by the
pouring
of people
illegally
into this country?
By deporting them until Congress gets its
act
together?
I'm sure we'll continue this.
Is that what
discussion.
You're suggesting?
All right. David Morales, thank you very much, David. And Joe Morgan, welcome to the showdown. A very passionate ending to it, which is fine. Okay, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Be there Saturday, September 9th, when the Wildcats welcome the Houston Cougars to Arizona Stadium. It's Tucson Community Night. Members of the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base will be honored, and the kids from Tucson Youth Football will play at halftime. Arizona football versus Houston this Saturday at 7:30. Get tickets at arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS. Tickets start at just $12. Once again, that's arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
At As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great weekend getaway. Or it doesn't have to be the weekend. It could be the middle of the week. Why not? Take off 3 hours from Tucson, 15 degrees cooler. Great place to hike, camp, explore historic Silver City, or just hang out in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the many great places to stay and the great opportunities to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit to the Buckmaster Show from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most expansive, explosive, spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. Dr. Levy, I presume, how are you?
Yes, hello, Bill. It's good to be in touch with you, and I'm just listening to your lovely commercial about Silver City. Wendy and I are thinking of loading the car this afternoon and going out there.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Make a great weekend getaway, or a midweek getaway for you and Wendy.
Yeah.
So you had a great time. I have some friends who drove actually from Tucson up to Riggs, Idaho, to see the eclipse. They drove 1,010 miles, they said, just in time for the eclipse, and they said it was transformative, let's put it that way.
I'll bet it was.
Yeah.
It's something that you see every day. You see the sun every day. You see the moon when it's in the sky, but it is so rare to see the sun and the moon in precisely the same position. And when you see that, you get a very rare total eclipse of the sun, which is what we got. That was really something incredible.
Well, one thing they pointed out, that even up until the last few seconds before totality, there's still the sun is so powerful, David Levy, that it's still very light.
It is. In fact, even during totality for us, the sky was pretty bright, even though we could see a couple of planets, Mercury and Venus.
Uh-huh.
But the sky was magnificent. The sun was, the texture of the corona was just unforgettable. I've never seen the corona looking that complex with the streamers. We're just jutting out in three directions from the sun. It was just amazing to see.
How many, there have been some really great eclipses over the last 120 years. How would this one rank with those?
I would say this is right about at the top.
Really?
The last time that the United States had a really major total eclipse that covered all the country was in 1918. My mother was 1 week old at the time. Oh. She is now 99.
Wow.
Still living. But that eclipse was a double feature, though. The people who had come to see that eclipse packed up their precious photographic plates, and a little bit too soon, because that very night, a few hours after the eclipse, when the sun went down and the stars came out, there was a exploding star right in the middle of the Milky Way.
Wow.
And that one was something else to see. So that was an unforgettable eclipse, and nobody seems to remember that, but I did. And the other interesting thing is that I've seen this eclipse before.
Really?
I've seen the 2017 eclipse. I saw for the first time in 1963. I saw it again in 1999. So this will be the third. This was the third time that I've seen that eclipse.
Well, getting back to what you said about the 1918, you said the entire country was in the path of totality, which is a little bit confusing to me, because I think of this path as being like what we saw here a couple of weeks ago, as a rather narrow field.
Actually, Bill, you think right, because I lied just now.
You did.
You'll have to impeach me.
Okay.
But the thing is that in 1918, the path crossed about the same as it did now, a little bit different, but across the entire United States. I remember Leslie Pelcher, a very famous comet discoverer, who was only in his teens at the time, saw it as a deep partial eclipse from his farm in Ohio. So he was probably about 200 or 300 miles from the path of totality.
And these comet, well, you know, we've got a new comet, right, coming into the scene?
Yeah, we do. We have one, a surprising, that was discovered. It's got a terrible name. The name is ASASSN.
What?
Which is pronounced assassin, which is something you really don't want to talk about too much.
No.
And in fact, the International Astronomical Union at first refused to name the comet. They just gave it a code number and didn't name it. But then last week they decided, well, that is the name. That is the acronym for the program that found it. So they really need to have it named, and it was named.
Well, it doesn't sound like a comet's very peaceful, and I thought comets were supposed to be kind of unthreatening things.
Comets are unthreatening most of the time, except for one in about 65 million years ago that collided with the Earth and caused a major shakeup in the speciation and in life forms on this planet. In fact, caused the demise of the dinosaurs, and 90% of all the life forms on the planet were wiped out, I believe.
Mm.
Between 75 and 90% were wiped out as a result of that. So that was a real assassin.
Yeah, there you go. Dr. David Levy, the quote of the month.
The quote of the month is this month from Tennyson, and it's from his beautiful poem, The Princess, which is in the 1840s. And he says, "Now slides the silent meteor on, and leaves a shining furrow as thy thoughts in me."
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. Now, when is the next big total eclipse of the sun in the United States?
April the 8th, 2024. And I hope to see that either from Montreal, Canada, which will be on the path, or from the site of our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat, which is right on the center line of the path of totality.
Mm, it's doable.
And that gives us more than 2 minutes of total eclipse.
It's doable.
It's doable if the sky is clear, which is a big question.
7 years away. Dr. David Levy, always a pleasure. We will look for the visit in the month of October. Thank you, David.
Okay, thanks so much, Bill.
All right.
And have a good rest of the day.
You too. We'll be right back. is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by my favorite place for all things green. I love this place, especially now with the autumn finally coming. I need at least a dozen geraniums from Green Things, and I need a couple of rose plants because, after all, pretty tough summer for those of us who like to garden, so it's a good time to go to Green Things. You know, they started over there, Jan and Jack, the owners, on 4 acres, now expanding to 13. It's a beautiful location along the Rito Riverwalk. On the web, they've got a great website. GreenThingsAZ.com has the full listing of their free workshops for gardeners, a really great service for gardeners. And again, that location just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Well, the Tucson Advertising Educational Foundation, Tucson Advertising Federation Educational Foundation, and the American Advertising Federation of Tucson has announced that Steve Lynn, Chris Mooney, And Balfour Walker will be inducted into the Tucson Advertising Hall of Fame this Thursday. The event is at the Hacienda del Sol, 5:30 to 7:30, and it is open to all. The Advertising Hall of Fame seeks to recognize the very best among Southern Arizona marketing and advertising professionals who have led, mentored, and inspired others to succeed in the industry. Steve Lynn retired as Vice President and Chief Customer Officer at both Unisource Energy Corporation and Tucson Electric Power Company. Mr. Lynn also served as the interim president and CEO of TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, now known as Sun Corridor Inc. Then early in his career, he spent 16 years as CEO and owner-partner at Nordenson Lynn and Associates, one of Arizona's leading marketing communications firms based right here in Tucson. And among his many honors, 2007 Man of the Year from the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. Steve, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great honor for you, and I was just looking through the listing. It's just a who's who of folks who have been in the ad business. I think this award goes back to like the late 1980s when you were kind of just getting started in the business, right?
That's right. I started in 84
yeah.
and went to 2000, but the list is incredibly impressive, and apparently, they've run out of really good people other than Chris and Balth. So they're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but I'm delighted to be scraped up.
When you started in the business, was this something that you had been spotlighting in your life up to that point, or was it something you kind of fell upon?
You know, it's an interesting question, and the answer is perhaps will surprise some people who know me. I had interviewed with J. Walter Thompson in New York right out of college, right off the U of A campus. Mm-hmm. They flew me to New York for a series of interviews. I had never been to New York City, never been east of the Mississippi before.
What and year was that then?
That was 1969.
Okay.
And they offered me a job in New York as an account assistant. Mm-hmm. Even though it was all the way back in 1969, the dollars that they were offering, I would not have been able to live in Manhattan. I might not have been able to live in the state of New York, and I probably would have had to take a plane to a train to a bus to get to work.
Every day,
you couldn't make a living on what they were offering.
It was you were supposed to be so honored that you had this opportunity that money wasn't even going to be a factor.
Exactly.
Glorified internship.
That's right. So after 2 days of grueling, intensive interviewing, they made the offer, and I declined and asked if perhaps I could work in their L.A. office. Mm-hmm. I'd grown up in California, and it was a little more palatable to know your surroundings. They said, no, everybody works at the mothership for at least 3 years, and then if there's an opening, you can bid for it in other locations.
Meanwhile, you will have gone broke after 3 years.
Well, yes, and broke is the least of it. You
exactly.
probably would not exist anymore.
No.
At any rate, then I did other things, and I did other things for a long while until my good friend Jeff Nordenson asked me to do a strategic plan for the agency. I was not with the agency, but he asked me to come in and do a plan for them, which I did, and that was successful. And the next year asked me to do another one that gave them some direction for the agency. And at some point he said, why don't you just come run the place? It's easier that way. So the story I tell people is I started as the CEO and worked my way down.
Well, that was kind of the agency in town at that point.
Well, certainly one of them. I mean, no disrespect.
Who were some of your clients, do you recall?
Oh, well, the big one was Intergroup.
Okay.
And Intergroup, which began as a very small HMO here in town, owned by the Thomas Davis Clinic.
Right. I remember that.
And the Tucson Clinic. Those mm-hmm. two clinics were the actual owners of the HMO. We had Intergroup from zero members to 300,000 members. And at that point, they had expanded well beyond Tucson. They were in Phoenix statewide. And at that point, they decided to move their account elsewhere. But it was great to take them that far into their development.
Well, and then the agency, you went on and did a lot of great things. You were 16 years with the agency. Then you got into the kind of the corporate field.
I went on the dark side, went to the client.
Went to the client. But you also were very involved with economic development in this town. And I think back on my own 30 years here in town, and you think about how we've kind of evolved in trying to attract business here. And it's there, we've had some great successes, and we fumbled the ball.
We have.
We have.
We have.
On certain occasions. But it's been a rocky road. I think that would be safe to say.
Yeah, it's smoothed out very nicely mm-hmm. now, and I think the future is going to be very smooth. But it did have some fits and starts at the beginning, and not the least of which was the way Rio Nuevo was conceived and executed for the first several years of its existence. But I will tell you that while I was at TEP, one of the discussions we had internally, when we were renting space in the downtown and were looking to build a headquarters, was whether or not we would stay in the downtown area or move somewhere else. And we had a half dozen locations on the drawing board as possible places to build that building. And boy, some of us fought really hard to say, if we're committed to Tucson, the utility ought to be in the downtown where mm-hmm. it can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And as you well know, the fact that we built downtown actually caused Fletcher McCusker to build downtown mm-hmm. and then to move downtown and become incredibly involved in Rio Nuevo and really is a driving force to a lot of the success we have now.
And you think about if you had decided to look at some of those plans and actually take them up on moving out of the downtown, that would have been a huge – downtown was struggling so much at that point anyway, that would really have set things back.
It was, and actually it was the first infusion of private capital into the downtown in any great number. We did not get any assistance from the federal government or the city, nor did we ask for any. But it was a private capital investment in the downtown area. And frankly, because we knew that the Regional Transportation Authority had targeted Broadway as part of the rail line for the modern streetcar, that was additionally why we liked that location. And there's a stop half a block on either side of the building.
You know, and about the whole getting that Tiger grant, as I think back on the whole evolution of downtown, and a lot of people, it's been fashionable for some to knock former mayor Walk up and say, you know, that he really didn't take control of it at a time of Rio Nuevo. But I think Bob Walkup will be remembered as really a turning point in getting that Tiger grant that went on to bring the streetcar to downtown.
If you remember when the Regional Transportation Authority was on the ballot, I was working on the campaign actually to pass it.
I recall that.
And we did a number of focus groups to talk about the various aspects of that program were it to be enacted. And frankly, the modern streetcar was the least popular. People really didn't understand why such a feature would have that impact on
be
the downtown.
Be that kind of economic catalyst. People didn't get it.
They didn't. No. But I think the people who understood urban planning mm-hmm. and understood the future of downtown dwellers, younger people who really don't care much about personal transportation,
right.
They would rather either walk or take public transportation to work,
mm-hmm.
And would like to live very near where they work, saw that that was going to be a catalyst. And if you look at the development all along the rail line, from the west side all the way over to the university, the land prices have gone up, the development has happened, it has become a corridor of entertainment and office and the new things downtown, the new hotel that's just about completed, another hotel on the west side, and now plans to revamp Hotel Arizona on the west side. It's really going to help immensely in the future development of the city.
Speaking with Steve Lynn, Steve will be inducted along with Chris Mooney and Balfour Walker into the Tucson Advertising Hall of Fame this Thursday at the Hacienda del Sol from 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening. A well-deserved honor, certainly, for Steve Lynn. And you think back to some of those dark days of Rio Nuevo, and it really some of these false starts and projects that were really going nowhere. But in many ways, we were one of the last cities in the United States of any kind of consequence and size to develop a downtown. And I think it's helped the area, and I think we have developed almost a hybrid of what we have come up with downtown.
The other interesting thing about our downtown is if you look at it on a map, it is incredibly small.
Yes.
It's a very small footprint.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very judicious about the way we develop it, and we have been, continue to be. And so everything now is infill, and it's mm-hmm. and it's targeted infill. Frankly, there's only one block left in the downtown that is completely free to be developed. It's currently a parking lot, and we'll see how that develops along with everything else that's going on.
In the remaining minute, getting back to advertising, how has social media been the game how big a game changer has it been in your business?
Since we left the time of broadcast mm-hmm. Into what I would call and has been called narrowcasting, not just social media, but also podcasting, the kinds of things where people can tune in to a very specific message and keep that message coming into their home all day, every day, without any other mm-hmm. news along with it mm-hmm. or counterpoint along with it. Things have changed dramatically. And of course, it was a huge game changer in the last presidential election. It continues to be a game changer with direct communication between the president and the base of this nation, mm-hmm. his base, who got him elected. So you have to believe that not only the current social media outlets, but all those yet to be developed, and there are probably many coming, mm-hmm. Will be significant in terms of the way we talk to each other.
And it's certainly the live streaming is a game changer in this business right here on radio. So many people listening to us right now on the computer. Steve Lynn, congratulations. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, 4 to 5 this afternoon, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9 tomorrow, and then our Thursday edition, we'll meet the new TUSD superintendent here at noon tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.